And now I read from Romans chapter 8, beginning at the 14th verse. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if, in fact, we suffer with him so that we may be also glorified with him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It is time for the gospel lesson. If it is your tradition to stand and you are able and comfortable, please do so. This is from John, the Gospel of John, 14th verse, 14th chapter, beginning with the 8th verse. Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. And Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does this work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you. He will be in you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to be seated. Pentecost was a tradition. The disciples, you realize Jesus has been gone. They're struggling to figure out who they are and what they're doing and how they're doing it. And this is a Hebrew festival. This is the Festival of Weeks. And they are gathered in that festival. It's still called Pentecost. And they're gathered. And it's an interesting gathering because it appears to be the disciples. But it's important to note in Acts 2 that they say, Now there were gathered devout Jews from every nation under heaven, living in Jerusalem, Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. How many of you know all those countries that were listed there? Those are all the countries of the known world then. If we'd put it up on a map, it would have been everybody that they were aware of. Every culture, every peoples is named here. I was going to have Rich Sneer read it, and he was actually ready. I should have let him do it. All of those names and all of those towns and all those peoples and all those languages. And they say to him, "Are the Galileans have been speaking. The tongues of fire have rested upon them, and the Galileans are speaking to these people." And they say, "Are these not Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in our own native language?" They listened and they could hear someone speaking perfect Tongan, someone speaking perfect English, someone speaking perfect Spanish, someone signing perfectly, someone speaking Urdu, Australian Aborigines language. You know that language with all the clicks and thucks and thucks? There are actually 27 languages. All of them hearing the good news in their own language. It is out of this event that the speaking in tongues tradition began, glossolalia. And I think it's gotten a little skewed because people that speak in tongues speak this language and nobody understands. Well, that's not what happened here. What happened here is they hear the language in their own language. They hear the good news spoken by people that didn't learn it. How many of you have tried to learn a second language? I'm still working on my first. As you try and learn a second language, it's fun. Paula and I will reflect on people that are native English speakers and not native English speakers. I like to see stars, movie stars, and they'll play a part or role. And who's the guy that played in Jurassic Park? What's his name? Doesn't matter. The guy that was in Jurassic Park has a British accent. But of course, in Jurassic Park, it doesn't come out. He's coached and trained so that it sounds like American English. I have to specify that American English business. There's lots of different Englishes, aren't there? I speak actually two languages, English and bad English. Have you ever turned on the BBC and watched a British show? Some of them I watched, and some of them it would get to a certain point, and I think, I have no idea what's going on because I don't understand what they're saying. And of course, that's the Queen's English to them. And they look at us Yanks, and we're doing something different. When I was a kid, I was 13 years old. True story, my dad is a mining engineer, and we were in the Gulf of Biloxi, Mississippi. We were in the Gulf of Mexico, down at Biloxi, Mississippi. And we were surveying mineral assets on some islands out in the bay there, out in the Gulf. And this fellow walked up to me on the boat. It was one of the mining engineers. He says, "You want some chocolate?" And I looked at him, and I said, "What?" And he repeated himself. And I looked at him again. And my dad said, "He wants to know if you want some chocolate." That New Jersey accent, I couldn't get it. I couldn't figure it out. I was so embarrassed, I declined. Have you ever tried to speak some of the languages of English that we speak? How about Southern English? Take somebody from Britain and put them in the deep South. It's just like trying to be in the middle of the Creole language in Haiti. What a gift it is to be able to speak in a language that those people understand, and they know the language. It's as a native speaker. There's a show on BBC that a fellow was talking, and he said, "Well, I've been sleeping rough." And they went on with the plot, and I thought, how come they're all reacting about the fact that he has a bad mattress? I didn't understand what was going on. You know, some of us don't sleep as well as others. That's not what it means. Sleeping rough means you're homeless. You're living on the streets. You're sleeping in doorways. How would you like? That's a whole different meaning now. And I thought, oh, well, let me watch the show again. Now that I got some of the insights. So we begin to hear in languages, and we begin to hear and understand things. Do any of you speak special languages? How about the languages of computers? How many of you speak modem and LAN and Ethernet and ISP and URL and bits and bytes and nibbles? Those are all real computer terms. A nibble's half of a byte. Did you know that? True story. You just learned something this morning. Go to lunch, say, "I learned what a nibble is." People will look at you funny. How about the language of science? Do you ever watch the Big Bang Theory? These four nerds trying to live in the world, and they're always coming up with all these interesting phrases. Heisenberg, and he was uncertain about something. I don't remember what it was. And CERN, you ever heard of CERN? How about the Higgs boson, the God particle? You've heard that, some of those in the news. What's that going on? And what's a quark, and which direction is it? Those are some sciences that's out there, isn't it? In the church of Jefferson Avenue, there's a chemical engineer, and I said, "Dan, you could flummox us with chemical engineering terms." He says, "Absolutely. If you don't speak that language." But he does, and he speaks that language. I've been watching Frank Burns Jazz. I've been driving Paula crazy telling her about it. The series on jazz. Have anybody been watching that? Wow, you got to start at the beginning, and you got to really hang in there, but it's fascinating. And this week they talked about Billie Holiday. Have you ever heard of Billie Holiday? Lady Sang the Blues, Billie Holiday. She had a very rough growing up. She lived on the street. It was awful. She was everything that could be wrong and bad in a person's life happened to her on the streets. And yet she had a voice, and she began singing this jazz style called the blues. And she was in a band. At that point in time, you couldn't integrate white bands and black bands. It was just not done.
two different bands, Artie Shaw and forgotten the other one. But Artie Shaw hired her, all white band, and a white and this beautiful vocal black woman. And she could come and she traveled with the band. They said she was just like one of the guys. She could drink and cuss and carry on and gamble and out wrestle the guys. She spoke the language of that life, that hard life. But then she began to sing, and she sang a language of pain, but a language that brought out grace, that brought peace and comfort, that brought joy in the blues. She had some ability to speak a language that spoke to generations and still does. As churchy folks, we have a language, don't we? We tossed out one of our code phrases this morning, Pentecost, or Advent, or Lent, or confession, or redemption, or what are some of the other terms? Atonement. How many of you know about the Gentile mission, or the Synoptic Gospels, or the non-Synoptic Gospels? And how many of you know about the Epiphany, and what it means, and the Ascension, and you know, we start throwing these around and we forget that when we have baby Christians in the midst, it's just like we're speaking Greek to them. And sometimes we have to stop and back up and explain our terminology before we even begin to preach, before we even begin to go down that road. Because we're taken to a new generation. What about the millennials? They speak another language. Facebook and Google and Skype and Twitter and there are several other, I looked them up, hang on. Snapchat and texting. There's another one out now. They all say, oh, we don't go to Facebook. Old people go to Facebook now. Some of us that think we're kind of hip and happening and we're really with it are on Facebook, and they've already moved on. And how do we speak to them? And how do we speak? But the Holy Spirit has done this. This Holy Spirit has descended upon us as tongues as of fire and has given us utterance. A strange word, utterance. The ability to speak and live and convey the good news of Jesus Christ to these peoples scattered hither and yon and wherever you. We had the gospel on the screen, didn't we? I didn't turn around and look. But I read that, and you might have noticed I paused. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. The word there was paraclete. Earl, do we have parakeet? There's the parakeet. That's not what we're talking about. Next slide. There we go. The paraclete. So keep your birds straight. Paraclete, parakletos. It was a word that not the disciples heard it and heard him say it, and they said, what did he say? I didn't quite get that. What was he talking about? And they got the right word, but they didn't know what he meant by it. What does paraclete mean? So we translate it in all kinds of ways. Advocate, Spirit of truth, companion, Holy Ghost. All of those words are translations of that one word, paraclete. That it is one part of the triune God. Father, Son, and paraclete. That's what we're talking about. And that paraclete is upon the people, the Christians, us, you, me. It's been around the whole time. It didn't just come at Pentecost. We can back up and we can hear it. John Wesley did a whole sermon on it. He talked about the different references of Spirit throughout, but I'm just going to hit a couple. Here's one in Joel. I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. That's us. That's life. That's vitality. Luke, the angel, said to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. It's the Spirit. There it is. Mark, Jesus came from Nazareth, was baptized by John in the Jordan. You remember that scene? As Jesus was coming out of the water, he saw heaven torn open and the Spirit descended on him like a dove. That looks like the same dove to me. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert. 40 days in the desert, temptation. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed." The Spirit. All of them were filled with the Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This is the Spirit. This is Paraclete. I have another 55 scriptures here. Do you need any more? You got it. But everybody good?
This is the birthday of the church, and we can celebrate that however we want. We've kind of done that with the red, with the colors, with the remembrance, but this is the day that we begin being Christ's emissaries, working as distinctly and clearly and cognitively to do Christ's work. And we're going to do it in different ways because, you see, we have different voices. Some can speak Tongan. Except for Father's Day, Pi is pretty good at it. Some can speak Swahili. Some can speak knitting. Some can speak accounting. Some can speak printing. Some can speak Navy. Some can speak Air Force. Some can speak in languages, cooking. I bought a cookbook one day. It was wonderful. I thought, I'm finally going to learn to cook. It says, okay, fold and then knead and then saute. And I thought, wait, how do you fold anything? I don't get it. I didn't even have the words to understand the language of what they were telling me to do. But some of you have that language. Some of you speak that language and you speak to others and they hear you because you're speaking in that same language. Sometimes as clergy, we're so busy speaking in that language of Christian clergy that we lose people. When I first started in ministry, I was just beginning seminary, my very first appointment, a little church in Wyoming, Hillsdale. And I was just beginning, and that first quarter in seminary was just deadly because the professors just hit us with everything, with all the terms that I thought, I've never heard of that before. I don't know what that word. So I'm writing down things to look up between classes. And I had to learn the words to understand the words that, yeah. It took a while, and I was, slowly those became ingrained in me, and unfortunately that creates some distance because now I speak in those terms, and we lose some people. There are things you can do that we as clergy cannot, and you need to think about that. There are a lot of things that you can do in ministry that I will never be able to do, because I am clergy. It isn't me that will grow this church. It's the Holy Spirit with you that will grow this church.
So think a minute and back up, and I ask you, you know, what languages do you speak? Look at this, my stool just walked off. Now I'm dressed again, I feel better. What languages do we speak? What languages do you speak? No, and I'm not talking English, French, tongue, and Spanish. I'm talking the language of people that you interact with. In that language, in that way of being one with the people, we offer the Holy Spirit. That's what we're called to be about and do.
Tongues as of fire descended upon them and gave them utterance.
That's you and me. Amen.